Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Keep your money local. Bring it home to a Wintrust Community Bank, home of Cubs checking with free ATMs nationwide. Find out more at Wintrust.com/Cubs. Member FDIC.
Hey everyone, welcome into the Cubs Talk podcast along with Tony Andracki. I'm Kelly Kroll. This is presented to you by Wintrust Community Bank. And the Padres and Cubs wrap up a four-game set, splitting this series. And now the Cubs head off to Kansas City. But some interesting takeaways from the weekend. I think the final game of the series, if you will, we have 15 hits by the Padres, 12 by the Cubs, and we have all these things to talk about. But really, the only thing that was being talked about in the clubhouse after the game was the final strikeout call by Angel Hernandez behind the plate with Anthony Rizzo. And he was as mad as I have seen him, in the sense that he went right up to him and walked all the way down to first base for a good like 2 to 3 minute span, explaining what he felt like was not a strike. It should not have been the end of the game. It should have been ball four. He should have been standing on first base with the Cubs having an opportunity to come back in that ball game once again with the wind blowing out. Certainly they have the weapons to make that kind of thing happen, Tony, but I was very impressed with how Rizzo then handled himself in the post game, with all the media standing around saying that he has the utmost respect for all of these MLB umpires and all the work that they put in, the travel that he put in, the hot days that they are out there. But this was unacceptable. I mean, that's what you really take away from what he said, and that Angel told him to go look at it. He did go look at it, and Angel was wrong. And he wants to have that confirmed. And he goes, but it won't be. And I think that's where he walks away feeling very frustrated. I think the entire Cubs team was frustrated with the game, the way the game was called behind the plate. But what did you take away from all of that?
You know, I thought it was the most like self-aware rant that I might have ever seen right from a baseball player. I mean, Javi, it was just 2 weeks ago that we were out here at Wrigley, and Javi was thrown out of a game, Madden was ejected, and they both went after the umpire as well. So it's not like this is brand new territory where the Cubs are going after the umpires or feeling like they're, you know, kind of persecuted against. But with Rizzo, like you said, he mentioned how the umpires, they have a tougher travel schedule than any of these players. These players get to be at home in their transplant cities of Chicago, anybody who plays for the Cubs, for more than half the season. The umpires don't have that. They don't have a transplant city, a home city, whatever else. So between that and the fact that Rizzo was so self-aware and hitting every point, because every at-bat counts, and he's one of the guys that you can absolutely say that he takes every at-bat to count. He never gives one away. He knows that they always, you know, it shows up in the back of his baseball card, but he also knows that, like, okay, the chances are, what, you know, 0.5% that the Cubs even come back and tie it there, but it's still 0.5%. He wanted the chance, he wanted the opportunity, and he doesn't want a game to end on that kind of call. So yeah, I thought it was, you know, this pretty incredible 4 minute rant. I think all of us in the media, we were just kind of like standing there watching as like Rizzo took it himself. Like he had a question, he got teed up. He talked for over a minute straight, just himself. So he had basically a prepared statement in this. So it was very fascinating. But let's actually listen to Rizzo's sound. We'll hear it in its entirety.
I mean, I think it's well documented that I talk to a lot of these umpires all the time, and I have the utmost respect for every single one of them. I kind of feel like I know them on a little personal basis, just because it's long games, long season. Talk to them a lot of it first, and you know, I feel like I have a great working relationship with pretty much the whole league. So, but with that being said, that call is unacceptable. And Angel told me to look at it. I looked at it, and he was wrong. And I would like for him to confirm that, because it's just, it's, that can't happen. It can't happen in the major leagues, at Wrigley Field, at any field. And you could add, with the utmost respect towards the Padres, you can go ask Austin Hedges and Kirby Yates. They'll tell you that that was pitch was off. It wasn't a good spotted pitch. It was off. And things like that can't happen. And it happened all game. And nothing happens. And I have to answer questions to you guys. And why can't you hit? Why are you striking out? Why can't you hit in the clutch in the ninth inning? And all these questions when right then and there it was literally ball four. So it's just, it stinks that now this has to be news because Angel is such a good guy. I mean, I apologize to the guy in the 2016 LCS for showing him up. I don't like talking bad about umpires. And I'm not talking about him. He just made a really, really unfortunate call.
So you just heard from Rizzo, and the interesting part about this all is that was the final pitch of the game, the final pitch of this four-game homestand, and in a way, that's kind of a distraction. It masked the issues, I feel, that kind of presented themselves for the Cubs this weekend. It was that this is one of the worst teams. The Padres are one of the worst teams in baseball, in the National League especially. They have the second worst starting rotation and just overall, you know, a tough pitching staff, and yet the Cubs only won two games. They barely won both of those, by the way, by 5-4 scores, and the offense just, you know, they scored five runs in two games, six in the other, but it just still kind of sputtered. They said it themselves that they weren't happy with the at-bats. They didn't feel like they claim. They played a really clean game, you know, often. And then, you know, there were issues between starting rotation, bullpen, whatever. So I feel like we're focused on this Rizzo thing. But moving forward, there are some concerns about this Cubs team moving forward that this series brought to light, I feel.
Absolutely. Exactly what you said. I think we watched John Lester go out in the final game, and you had kind of felt like Hendricks the day before maybe kind of really turning this corner. Before that, Quintana had a great game. And before that, Mike Montgomery was good enough, and then Cole Hamels was good. And so you kind of felt like this rotation was starting to trend in the right direction. And of all the guys that I didn't think would falter, it was John Lester, and he just was not good. And he said that. I mean, he didn't really give the team a chance to win. He put them in a big hole at the beginning. He wasn't sharp out there, Tony, and we've seen that now in his last four outings, like two that were not great and two that were still what he would consider was good enough. And I think that then leads into what we've been talking about all year. When the starting pitchers aren't going deep enough, here comes in the bullpen that has just been absolutely taxed this year. And Maddon's trying to figure out a way to spread the wealth of innings, if for lack of a better phrase. And that is, he's got these guys that he keeps wanting to go back to or needing to go back to, and they're not at their best right now. We saw in this it looked like CJ Edwards was rolling for a bit, and then he got a two-out walk, and then that came back to haunt him. And then Chavez was good again, but
Randy Rosario,
he's coming in now. This is your residual effect of Brandon Morrow still being down, and they're not being a closer. He used Pedro Strop two games in a row. Stropey was good enough. Today, Randy Rosario got the ball, and it didn't work out at all for Maddon and the Cubs. And I still think, to me, just like you were saying, I mean, whether it's we're talking about starting pitching or, to me, the injuries, I mean, they have got to get some of these guys back and healthy. I think it's great that we stand up there and try to give them the out of a silver lining and feeling rested. Hey, do you guys feel that way? We ask them this question in hopes of finding a positive thing to talk about. But the truth is, right now, they need their guys healthy. They need Chris Bryant back in this lineup. They need Yu Darvish to get healthy and start eating some innings so that the bullpen has less work to do. And Brandon Morrow, the closer that they went out to get, same deal. They need him.
Yeah, you know, and it Darvish coming back, I mean, this is the guy that was supposed to possibly even be the ace. You know,
yeah.
Lester coming off of last year, Lester just had a disappointing 2017 season. Nobody kind of expected him to be the ace that he has been this year, but really his issues were at the forefront today as well. I mean, you mentioned that he's had a couple of rough starts, you know, in general, but his first breaking down from March to June, 2.18 ERA, 1.08 whip. Only 10 homers in 95 innings. Since July 1st, this was his seventh start. 6.81 ERA, 1.85 whip, and he's given up 9 homers in 35.2 innings. And he's walking almost as many as he's striking out. So that's the problem. He's given up. Obviously, he's been victimized by the long ball. He's not striking guys out the way he was before. And all of that luck and stuff that he talked about earlier, that those hard hit balls, the defense picking him up, it hasn't been here for a little over a month now, and that is really concerning for a team that, like you said, no Darvish, even if Hendricks and Quintana and Montgomery are, and Hamels are turning the corner, I mean, they still need a guy like Lester to be out there. And so they're moving forward. I mean, they did think that this rotation was turning around. They thought it was getting back to the point. I mean, just a few short months ago, this was supposed to be one of the best rotations in baseball, possibly even the best starting five in the National League. Has not been anywhere close to that. And I agree with your point about getting guys back. I mean, this bullpen right now, even if Brandon Morrow comes back, I mean, you obviously trust Morrow in the ninth inning, and but then it slots guys like Pedro Strop and C.J. Edwards in the sixth and seventh and eighth if you need to. And right now, the Cubs do not have a reliable left-handed pitcher in the bullpen. Justin Wilson has had good moments, but he still is walking somewhere around six guys per nine innings. Randy Rosario, we saw what happened. Brian Dunsing ERA is over seven. So it's just because of Montgomery's in the rotation, there's so much that needs to be addressed, and Morrow coming back would help the bullpen in this kind of trickle-down effect. And then we're not even talking about, you know, the 2016 National League MVP is not in a lineup that very clearly badly needs him right now. So, you know, moving forward, it's not all negative. The Cubs are still one game up in the division. They still have the best record in the National League. But this series really brought some things to light, I feel.
Yeah, and I suppose we keep in mind these are the dog days. It's why they call them that for a reason. And these guys are trying to grind out through August without being full strength. And that is a hard thing to do when every team that comes in here wants to beat you and play their best. I mean, the Padres were pumped for the series. I know that they have a record that indicates they're not a very good team, but they're still a roster, as guys will tell you, of 25 major league players. All of these guys have pride. They all play hard, and they're going to go into Kansas City, and the same thing is going to be facing them. That Kansas City Royals team wants to beat the Cubs that they haven't seen in a while now. That, you know, the Cubs are this team that's supposed to just roll up into the playoffs for the fourth straight season in a row. And yeah, every team gets up for them, and we saw that this weekend. And I just hope that this Pedro Strop lighthearted themed trip that is headed off to Kansas City, I hope you see guys be able to let these frustrations roll off their back, in the sense, because they were as bothered as I've seen them in the post-game situation that we get to walk into day in and day out. But it is rare that you see Rizzo, yeah, conduct himself in a way where that was really thought out. He didn't just step up to the mic and start ranting,
whatever,
and the gibberish was the word I was thinking. That was thought out before he spoke to us. And then when we walk over and talk to Javier Baez, he echoed everything, knowing that Rizzo had said it. He backed him up completely, saying the exact same things, basically. And I'm just thinking, they've been so good about letting things like this disappear within 30 minutes, and maybe that's exactly what they needed to all be in these flashy, colorful, sparkly outfits and get to act a little bit like Pedro, who, if anybody can let things roll off his back, that's who it is. So maybe they, I don't know, take that identity of Pedro for a day and move forward. And we see a team come out in Kansas City that knows they got to start separating themselves in the division if they're going to be where they want to be in 7 weeks.
Yeah, you know, that's a great point. I mean, this is a perfect timing for the Strop Day, you know,
right,
to really honor a guy that we know, and fans don't always get to see this, but, I mean, he's one of the most, like, jovial, like, fun-loving guys. Like, he literally always is smiling and laughing, and he was doing so again after, you know, even a tough loss for the Cubs here. So this is a perfect timing for that, and it's something that Madden has not used much this year, but he's obviously used much in the past, because he really wants these guys to understand that it's a long season. You mentioned the dog days of August. Cubs are in a stretch right now where they're playing 21 games in 21 days after the All-Star break, but they do have a little bit of rest coming up. After Kansas City, they got a Thursday off, then they have one weekend series and then a Monday off. So suddenly they're only playing 3 out of 5 days, and that's where you can catch up on sleep, do all these other things.
Their last Sunday night baseball game is coming up as well against the Nationals, and I think in a way a lot of those guys would be like, heck yeah. I mean, it's always great to be on national television for them, but they needed this rest right now. There's no doubt about it. So, yeah, there's that series as well that they get to put behind them in another week.
Well, that, and then you and I always like to leave these on a positive note. So even though both Javi Baez and David Bote had kind of the tube plan, they were thrown out. Bote was picked off at second. Javi tried stealing third and was unsuccessful. That being said, these two are absolute bright spots for this team right now. Javi's in the NL MVP race. Bodhi has his average up around 320, and this rookie has been impressive. Yeah, right. And you know, Bodie's just, he's been impressive in every aspect that he's played so far.
And as frustrating as I'm sure that was for fans to watch those base running gaffes, if you will, I mean, not necessarily. I mean, Javi was safe, as Madden pointed out, but then technology proved he wasn't because he came off the bag. But he was safe and then kept sliding through it and was tagged. But I think that it's important that fans keep in mind this is the best, really, base running team in the entire league. And so what is going to be their strength from time to time will also be their weakness. And that's what it was here in the finale against the Padres. But I think it's fun for those that are listening to this podcast but aren't at Wrigley Field, maybe for some of these games. It is fun to watch Javier Baez come to the plate and hear MVP chants break out. I mean, this guy is having one of the best years of his career, and it's fun to watch right now. For every swing and miss, there's the swing that goes over and the hit that goes over to Waveland. So yeah, it's just, he's fun to watch. And David Bodie is the guy who comes out and says, let's not take that for granted. So I think fans across baseball, not just Cubs fans, need to recognize the kind of year that Javi Baez is putting together.
All right, that'll do it for our Cubs Talk podcast. Again, head to wintrust.com/Cubs for more info. Thanks for listening.